What would you say that Christianity fundamentally boils down to? What would you say? If someone came up and said, what's the thing about Christianity? What's it all about? What would you say? Right? Basic question, fundamental. How many people would say, oh, it's about love? Well, what the heck else would you say? I want to hear from you. What do you think it's about then? Right? Like three people raise their hands about love. What is it about then? Yeah, Joan. Truth? Okay. What? Oh, it's about Jesus. Joe. What's that? Oh, that it would be believing in the Eucharist. All right, interesting. Luke. John 3:16. Oh, football, right? The touchdown verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Yep. Forgiveness. Okay, good. Yeah, good. Well, tonight, I think that most people, maybe not here, but most people would say it's about love, right? But I want to add this. It's love and truth. Love and truth. Basically, like you need two legs to stand strong. In Christianity, we need love and we need truth. Both together, not separated from each other. Some people have heard of a guy named Chris Stefanik. He's out of Denver, I think, still. I don't know if he's moved, but he's a Catholic kind of evangelist, apologist, married guy. He was here last year, I think. And he said this one time. He said, truth without love is cruelty. Truth without love is cruelty. Love without truth is abandonment. Truth without love is cruelty. And you can think of all sorts of settings where that would be the case. Someone sees your flaw, and they know it's a flaw, and you know it's a flaw, and they just hammer you with it. But there's no love behind that, so then that truth becomes cruelty. Conversely, I love you. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever floats your boat. But I love you. Even if the choice you make is destroying you and other people. But I love you. Just do what you do. You do you. Love without truth is abandonment. Even though it disguises itself as love, it's not really love. See, and so Kelsey's right. What's the essential thing about Christianity? It is Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? He is the love of God made flesh, the love of God incarnate, love visible, and he is the way and the truth and the life. John 15:5. The way and the truth and the life. So what we have in Christianity is this love that is actually love because it is also truth. And so as we continue to walk into this great season of Advent, we go back to fundamental truths. Fundamental truths. Two of them are on display in our readings. We are all sinners. We have a Savior. Two fundamental truths. We are all sinners and we have a Savior. In fact, they're written in to the opening hymn that we sing on the Sundays of Advent. Pay attention to those words. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Ransom captive Israel. Friends, our sins enslave us. They put us in captivity. And yet we know that we have Emmanuel, the one who will set us free. And so we also say, rejoice, rejoice, O Israel. Emmanuel shall come to thee. God with us, God who is love, God who is truth, comes into the truth of our own captivity, and he sets us free. And that's the power of the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do. C.S. Lewis, he says that the incarnation is the divine invasion. Jesus dropping behind enemy lines under the guise of a small child. But he really comes to fight for us, to battle for us, to set us free in a way we could never be free. The first reading tonight, and then picked up again in the gospel, has great, great imagery. The prophet Isaiah, he talks about making a highway for the Lord, that every valley would be brought up and every mountain brought down. Everything that is an obstacle to this way of grace that Jesus wants to form in your heart and in my heart, that God's grace would address that, that his truth would address that. I want you to think about mountains and valleys. And maybe I should say this, mountains and canyons. See, in all of our lives, there are mountains and canyons, chasms. In all of our lives, sin has this power to disrupt the landscape, to create these elements that become very stable and very disruptive. And for you and for me, it's like, oh, it's not that big a deal. We'll just get in a car and we'll drive on a road through the mountains, or we'll go over a bridge, or we'll get in a plane. But imagine back in the time of Isaiah. Imagine back in the time of Jesus. Imagine even just 100 years ago or 150 years ago out here in the West. Mountains and canyons are big obstacles, and they can seem so stable and permanent, can't they? And in the spiritual life, mountains and canyons can appear to us to be so stable. Mountains of excess, too much selfishness, too much pursuit of pleasure, too much focus on wants over needs, too much putting myself before everything else. Those raise up these excesses that become obstacles to the path, that break up the way. And friends, there's also giant chasms, canyons, where things have fallen away. Too little time for prayer, too little discipline, too little compassion, too little time for those in need. And all of those things begin to create this chasm in our lives where we get to an edge and we're like, I got nothing there. I got nothing. And brothers and sisters, when we recognize that truth in our lives, then we are on the first step to receiving the one who came to change the spiritual landscape of our lives. But we have to recognize the truth of that. So what are your mountains in the spiritual life? What are your canyons? Where is there too much that has become a wall and an obstacle? Where is there too little that has become a gaping chasm that you cannot cross anymore? Take some time, each one of you. Pray about that. Recognize where the Lord in his truth is pointing out to you the call to conversion. Because we're all sinners. And every one of us has those mountains and chasms. And yet this, if that's true, this is more true. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He says over and over, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to save sinners. The healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. The whole move of the incarnation, what Jesus is all about, is to come into your life and into my life and change the whole spiritual landscape so that something that seemed so impossible, so immovable, so permanent in your life, whether it was a mountain or whether it was a chasm, would be changed and transformed. That his way, his holy way, would allow those realities to shift. And so we call upon him as our Savior. We need a Savior. We have to have him. And what he does when we allow him to enter in, when we wake up to his presence and to the grace that he gives, is he brings down mountains of excess. And he fills in canyons and chasms of defect. And he creates his way. And the way becomes straight. And all of our life, all of our powers and energy becomes pointed toward him. And then through him and with him and in him, we become transformed. We become set free. We become redeemed. And so when we come tonight to Mass, especially this night with these readings, we should pray for graces that bring down the excesses. Graces of humility. Graces of humility that allow us to lower the places where we have allowed them to become so high that we cannot pass over them. That Jesus would bring those things down. Also, we pray for graces that would fill in the lacking, that he would lift us up where we are not paying attention enough, where there's a chasm in our life. Graces that bring things down, graces that fill things up. That's the call tonight for you and for me, especially this Advent. And Jesus comes, my friends. He is the Savior who loves you perfectly. His love will come to you along with his truth. Each one of us called tonight, loved tonight, but called into a truth that sets us free. So may we not be afraid of approaching him, the one who came to us, the one who wants to change things in your life. And I know there's some things that people think, well, I'll just always deal with this. It will just always be here. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can change what you think is permanent. That his love is powerful enough to transform your whole life. That his grace, not your effort, his grace will transform you and change you. That's the power of the gospel. That's the message that changed the world, that in him, we can be redeemed. We can be set free. And so, as we acknowledge our sinfulness, as we acknowledge our captivity, we also acknowledge, rejoice. Rejoice. O Israel, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Jesus will come. As long as we say yes to his approach, as long as we say yes to his presence, as long as we are willing to leave behind the old and walk in the newness that he provides, his grace will transform. And that, my friends, is what Advent is all about, to prepare our hearts for such a great grace from such a great King.